history, humankind has looked to understand the world around us, to define, taxonomize, and scientate. But some secrets have defied the cold scalpel of knowledge. These dark mysteries still reside within the Mind Trench with your guide, Rob Bollock.
Morena, Rob. I wish you guys could see the dance Rob just did then. It was wild.
I feel like we need to get like a clip of the noise that it makes when you move your mic over to talk into
the... Well, no, because normally I'll just push it out the way so I don't say anything inappropriate when you two are talking.
I quite like it.
Right, now we're going back to 67 BC here.
Are we?
To King Mithridates VI of the ancient Empire of Pontus, which is located in today's Turkey, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, he was totally obsessed with the immune system because the amount of kings before him that were poisoned...
To be honest, that seems like quite a fair reason to be interested in that.
So he deliberately took small amounts of poison in regular small doses to boost his immune system.
Micro poisoning.
to be the antidote. And that's when he discovered mad honey, right?
Now, okay, this is not where I thought that was going, but I'm into it.
So right. What's mad honey?
Mad honey is collected by the bees from a specific rhododendron flower, which contain... Granotoxins.
Yes. What is
which,
that?
Which, if you have them in small amounts, you can hallucinate.
So it's psychoactive. Of course, Big Hungry has walked past the studio with a massive thumbs up.
He's going to have some on toast
now. We get it, Big Hungry.
Right. If you have more than a teaspoonful of it, it causes vomiting and death in certain cases, right?
Oh, dear. Now, death in certain cases sounds like an Agatha Christie novel.
Yeah.
So he was micro-poisoning to fix his immune system, but actually ended up micro-dosing.
Yeah. But then, what was happening at that time in history, the Romans came along, right? And they had huge, huge numbers, and he thought, oh, we're not going to beat them. Now, he knew, as you do, Roman soldiers love a bit of honey, right? Can't get enough of it.
Nice. I didn't know that. I have no idea.
Yeah.
It's one of these things.
Did you know that before?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Some of this stuff, hard to believe, I'll make it up as I go along.
I just want to let you know someone's texted in, all in capitals, being like, mean, with heaps of exclamation marks. Yeah,
people are really loving mad honey this morning.
So anyway, what he done was, he got a load of mad honeycombs and he just placed them everywhere. Right, Roman soldiers go, oh, I have some of this. Got into it and then it was all over.
This isn't true.
It's true. It's true.
History. What is your source?
Facts.
It's the net.
The internet.
The internet.
Internet.com.
And this was all about mad honey. They were all obviously tripping and vomiting and everything, so you just pushed them over, basically.
So what, he won something after this?
Eventually.
Culinary skills.
He got so many people after him, he couldn't poison himself, so he got one of his soldiers to... Sword him to death. Not the word. Stab him to death.
So they were all like, screw you for making us trip without our consent.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, we're coming for you. And then he was like, I can't handle this.
This stuff was used in the 18th century and traded around Europe as an extra kick to be mixed with drinks.
Okay, so it was like traded like a drug, basically.
So people would have a little bit of that because it was a better effect than alcohol. Then I think due to the Industrial Revolution, cheap alcohol became available. Mm. And that was the end of mad honey. And I think quite well as well, but I think you can still get it in Turkey.
If you go to Turkey, maybe you can get this thing,
right?
Did this get then made illegal? Or is this still a legal substance?
You can still buy it in Turkey.
It sounds like one of those things that's just kind of maybe slipped through a loophole.
It fell out of favour because of cheap alcohol. It's good in one way and bad in another, really.
Yeah, but that's not the case now, right? No. Like, people would be...
I think you can still get it. I don't know. Maybe food countdown might do it. I don't know.
Some of the honeys in countdown.
Excuse me. Where is your mad honey aisle?
Some of the countdowns and supermarkets do take the honey off the shelves, and you have to ask the people.
That's because
for the
people
honey.
Were stealing all the
well,
honey.
Well, maybe it's because of mad honey.
Right, well, this led me. So I thought, right, food is a weapon, and I thought, is there any other cases of it? And I came up with this one: the cheese cannonballs, which happened in 1841.
Cheese can. Before we do that, can I just say that someone's texted in a very, like, academic text. In Xenophon's Anabasis, circa 400 BC, I'm sorry if I didn't say that right, there is a reference to a three-day hallucination experience of the mercenaries after consuming mad honey by the Black Sea.
There you go. Exactly what I was talking about, and that's where I got that article from.
There you go, fact-checking, sort of.
That's where I got
what, you got it from the texter?
No, you got it from Xenophon's Anabasis.
I got that book. It's one of my one of my coffee table books.
I'm not doubting your research. Yeah. I'm just like, well, see, that's quite, you know, insane.
So someone else says it's real and you go, okay, then.
There we go, fact. What's the next one?
Cheese cannonball. In 1841, John H. Coe, a captain in the Uruguayan Navy, was faced with a difficult choice. He was embroiled in a naval battle, but he'd run out of cannonballs. So rather than retreat, he ordered them to load up all the cheese into the cannons. It was Edam, which hadn't... Edam cheese hadn't travelled very well, and the lieutenant broke his carving knife trying to cut it up.
Oh, no.
So they put it in there. The first one they fired off went into the main mast.
Yeah.
Sent like shards of wood everywhere, like injuring loads of people.
It can be quite hard cheese, right?
Up all the things, and actually two sailors got killed from it.
By cheese cannonball. What year is this?
This is 1841.
1841.
But then as I was writing it, I remember watching Mythbusters and they actually did it and it was real.
Because if you think about a block of cheese that you buy at the supermarket, if you threw that at someone, it would hurt. Like, that's quite hard.
If you think about when you've got cheese in your fridge and it's just been there for ages and someone's not wrapped it up properly, it goes so hard.
Yeah, it's like a rock.
Right, now, really quickly, I want to do this one. Yeah. This is top of my bucket list. This is Björk. Has collaborated with Microsoft to create artificial intelligence generated music based on changing weather patterns and the positions of the sun. Of course she has.
Of course.
It's called Kosfan, which means choir archive in Icelandic. The compositions will be played continuously in the lobby of the Sister City, a hotel in New York's Lower East Side. It uses sounds from Björk's musical archives, which is compiled over the last 17 years, to create new arrangements that include the Hammerlad Choir from Iceland, which she used to be part of, and it features in her show Cornucopia.
Very cool.
Right. Mm. Using Microsoft's AI, the music will adapt to sunrises, sunsets, and changes in barometric. Yeah.
The weather.
Pressure using a line camera feed from the hotel roof. The result is an endless string of new variations that create an all-encompassing mood for guests.
That sounds extremely cool.
She's written a statement out which I'd like to read.
I thought you were going to try and do a voice for a second there.
An architectural structure in downtown Manhattan, she means a hotel, offered me the hand in a AI tango and I accepted the call. I'm alert with curiosity, waiting the results. I offered them my choir archives in over 17 years that will float through the pinball of artificial intelligence by the grid of bird migrations, clouds, aeroplanes, and that voluptuous thing called barometer. Hudson Valley happens to be one of the most bird trafficked deltas on the planet. I know this from my own experiences.
Wow. That's
hope
pretty cool.
Enjoy this. That's
she's
top of
magical,
my bucket list. That would just be fantastic. So as the clouds change, the music mood will change and might be good for a day, but then maybe after a week you just want to pull your hair out.
I would be so intrigued to go and hear that. I think that would be quite
special. So that's top of my bucket list.
Just before we say ka kite, somebody's texted in to say honey in New Zealand can occasionally be toxic if bees gather honeydew from tutu bushes.
And there you go. I
would also add to that, did you hear about those bees in France that made blue honey because they were pollinating with the M&M factory?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing. You can find photos of it online as well. That was very nice.
Yeah, I haven't got time for the sandwich, but...
Oh, no. Okay. Get to the sandwich. I forgot we're doing the sandwich.
Okay, right. This is...
I was going to ask about the sandwich.
A geezer from Auckland University. Etienne, you know what your surname is because I don't know how to pronounce it properly.
Let's
give it a go. Nord. N-A-U-D-E, with help from a companion in a small town called Olivera in Spain, which is exactly on the opposite side of the world to Buckland's Beach.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's so cool.
That is very cool.
They both placed bread at exactly the same time on the ground and made the world's largest sandwich. Well, obviously the largest sandwich
that's
ever.
So good.
But I thought they didn't put any margarine. What would you put? I'd actually put
margarine.
Butter on it.
Yeah.
Margarine? Oh, no, you, that's a big, you know.
That's a proper sandwich. Yeah. It deserves proper butter.
And salt and vinegar crisps, of course.
Yum. Very good. Thank you very much, Rob.
I've lost the end of my pen.
Oh, no.
Oh,
I'm the so mind just,
treat
so excited.
With Rob Bollocks, only on 95
BFM. By Bjork.
Rob's broken his pen. Should we listen to